Hello, hello. It's Melanie Johnson here for another great podcast. I'm one of the founders of Elite Online Publishing. I'm here with my business partner, Jen Foster. Hey, Jen.
Hey everyone, how are you doing today?
I hope everyone's doing fantastic. So, I'm going to tell you, I have had advice from coaches, advice from people giving a strategy. Matter of fact, I just pulled up a document from 2018 on our business. And we recently thought we had this great aha moment of what we should do. And we realized it was written back in 2018, and we just never revisited it and looked at the advice the strategy person told us. So if I feel our pain today, we have someone who has written the book about strategies first, how to defeat the strategy trap. I am so ready for this. I mean, literally, this happened to us this morning before this podcast. So I think it's hilarious. It's great timing. So the author of this book is Ryan Hayes, and he is going to help us with our strategies. Hey, Ryan, welcome.
Thanks so much, Melanie and Jen. Looking forward to the conversation.
Well, tell us, Ryan, a little bit about your background and how you first came into this business of strategy.
Definitely. So I'm in higher education and I've spent my career in higher education and I've been doing strategy work for about 2 decades within that context. And so I've written, over a half dozen strategic plans myself. And I've always been someone that, just worked on strategy. And it wasn't until recently that I actually got the title of Chief Strategy Officer. But, part of the book's message is you don't need a title. You don't need permission. You can be a strategist as long as you live the identity into action. And so, in terms of my expertise, that was, I always got asked, hey, you're really good at strategy and I want to be good at strategy. Give me some advice. And I couldn't ever really point to one book or even a few books that I could recommend. And it's like that for other topics. Like if someone asked me, I need a good book on decision making, or I need a good book on messaging. I need a good book on just general leadership. I usually have, three or four in mind that I love to recommend. And it just couldn't, I couldn't come up with one when people would ask about being a strategist. And there are plenty of strategy books. It's a cottage industry, but there's not very many on strategists. And so that was the purpose of the book.
So you talk about in the very beginning of the book, the strategy trap. Tell us the strategy trap and how do we get out of the strategy trap?
Great question, Melanie. So I liken it to strategy is the rock star and strategists are the roadies, right? The rock star gets all the attention and the roadies, frankly, do all the work. And that's what happens, kind of in traditional strategy is all the focus is on the how and the what, the strategy. And there's virtually no focus on the who, which is the strategist. And, there's a reason in the sports world they say that, playbooks don't win championships, players do. It's because of that who is so important to the work you're doing. And for the longest time, frankly, 50 years, we've had this regime of only focusing on strategy. And I think it's been the detriment of organizations because, as you mentioned before, Melanie, most actual strategic plans go from the desk to the shelf to the storage closet. And it depends on, some take weeks, some takes months, some takes years, but the net result is they're just not that effective. Most strategic plans, die a death of self-inflicted wounds. They're not effective. They're not efficient. And I think a lot of that has to do with ownership. I mean, organizations are asking, non-strategists to implement strategy. And so if you think about that, they don't ask accountants to do accounting without first training them to be accountants. The same for cybersecurity, the same for audit, the same for lawyers, the same for finance folks. There's a training and support role that organizations have for those functions that frankly don't exist for strategy. They just think that anyone could do strategy and they just leave it up to, just sort of managers to do it. And frankly, they're ill-equipped.
So, what is a strategist and do they provide accountability? I mean, walk us.
So great question. So yeah, I would say in a very succinct way, strategists are people who do things by design and not default, right? So they are deliberate in everything they do. And in terms of accountability, there's an ownership there that I would liken to an entrepreneur, right? I mean, you both are entrepreneurs. If you're an entrepreneur, there's no off switch to who you are or what you do. You live that identity into action every single day. You don't have the luxury of saying, oh, I'm only going to be an entrepreneur at retreats 3 times a year. I'm only going to be an entrepreneur if other people tell me I can't be. Entrepreneurs just roll up their sleeves and they do the work and they judge themselves by one thing and one thing only. Are you effective or are you ineffective? And frankly, everything else is sort of downstream from that. And I think that's how strategists have to approach the conversation as well. Is at the end of the day, to be good as a strategist, you have to be effective. And if you're ineffective, you got to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Now, you've worked with prestigious colleges like Dartmouth and Princeton and Emory. Like, can you tell us some of those experiences you've had being their strategist or doing strategy work there?
So yeah, I did strategy work there. I wasn't a chief strategy officer by any means. It's a relatively new title for higher education. I have that title here at the University of Cincinnati, but not many other universities have that title. But of course, I did do strategic planning at those institutions. And again, what I noticed was that, you know, strategic planning kind of takes on a life of its own. It can get, you know, it's very process oriented. And, you know, when you're working on a plan, it can get very, I would say, copious in terms of just the amount of, you know, activities that are going. And at the end of the day, it seems to be more activity driven than results driven. And that was always something that kind of, you know, bothered me is, you know, back to Melanie's point about accountability, there was so much work mm-hmm. put into the actual product, but then over time, there wasn't much accountability as to whether or not it was delivering on its original promise. And it just kept happening over and over again. I would just see institutions, it would have a strategic plan to sort of check the box because it becomes proxy for an organization's stability and legitimacy. But when you ask, okay, is it really moving the needle in terms of being effective? It's pretty mixed results. You know, not that many strategies are actually achieving the results that people want. So again, what's the diagnosis? You know, the book is all about this idea of, you know, shift the focus to strategist, focus on getting the who right. And then from there, everything else flows. So this book, and by any means, myself as well, I'm not anti-strategy, just the opposite. Mm-hmm. Strategists need strategy to you know, be who they are and do what they want to do. But when you put strategy ahead of and in front of strategists and you do it at the expense of strategists, I think you end up with what we see today, which are a lot of strategies that aren't owned. They're only rented. And rented strategies tend to fall by the wayside.
So how do you really go about implementing them? What's the key so they don't end up on the bookshelf? Do you have a strategist? You come up with a strategy plan. What is the support system that you have to make sure that it comes from idea to paper to reality?
So great question. Excellent question, Melanie. So I think the key is that you don't fall into the trap of letting the C-suite sort of quote unquote decide the strategy, and then let everyone else, quote unquote, sort of do the strategy, right? So it's choosers mm-hmm. and doers. And Roger Martin, who's a master strategist, he explains this very eloquently. When you make that distinction, you're instantly falling into a trap because at the end of the day, strategy is about making choices, and you want to make those choices in wise ways. You make choices when you're choosing, right? What strategy mm-hmm. to pursue, but you're also making choices when you're doing, right? And that's the misperception is, you know, one exercise is, you know, choosing and the other one's not. The reality is you're actually making choices throughout the life cycle of a strategy. So to make the distinction where some do it and some don't, and the quote unquote sort of, you know, everybody else in the organization just implements, mm-hmm. again, it's a recipe for pretty uninspired results. And we see that over and over again where, and I call these sort of orphan strategies, right? They're orphaned because they get determined in a small room with a few, you know, C-suite folks, the smoke goes up like they're picking a pope, and then out comes a strategy and everybody else is supposed to implement it. It just doesn't work. I mean, the rest of the organization, they'll rent the right words, they'll say the right things, but at the end of the day, they don't own it. They just rent it.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's really key because there's not any action. Like the owners, the CEOs and the decision makers are not even owning it at all. And they're just saying, just go do it, you know, like they're not helping at all.
So great point, Jen. One of the best case studies from the book, I'll just do a quick little foray into this, is these professors from MIT studied 124 companies. And they did a survey in which they asked both leaders and managers, so folks who were at all parts of sort of the implementation life cycle, ones that were mm-hmm. sort of, you know, conceiving it, and then the frontline folks who were implementing it. They asked them, you know, could you name your company's top five strategic priorities, right? Mm. And you would imagine that, you know, they're involved on a day-to-day basis with this strategy. They could at least name them, right? They didn't ask, can you write 10 pages on it, right? It just said, can you name the strategic priorities? And what was telling is that only 2.5 of the 10 out of 10 people could name 3 of 5 strategies, right? So think about that. Only 2.5 out of 10 people could name 3 of 5. 4 of 10 people couldn't name a single one. They literally couldn't name 1 of the 5. And so what does that tell us? I think C-suite folks think that their strategies are much more sticky and have a lot more, you know, traction than it actually does, because the most interesting part of that study, frankly, was where the sharpest plunge was. So where was the biggest drop off? Yeah. You would have thought that the biggest drop off would have been from the C-suite to the frontline folks who never see them, right? So the C-suite folks make the strategy, the frontline folks are implementing it. They see each other maybe once a year. But ironically, the sharpest plunge in terms of awareness happened between the C-suite and their direct reports, which again, reveals the fact that we think that, you know, people understand the strategy, that they share the, you know, the conviction behind it, and then more importantly, they know what to do with it. And time again, that proves not to be true.
Yeah, knowing what to do, I think, can be a hurdle, especially with new technology. And you talk about, like, you're one of the things in your title is innovation. So how to marry the innovation with the strategy, because sometimes they're implementing it with old innovation that can take twice as long and it slows up the process. It's kind of like you're pulling a bag of boulders behind you versus using something new and making it implement fast. So talk about innovation and strategies.
Sure. Thank you, Melanie. So, you know, there's a truism in the world of innovation, and everyone who's an innovator and entrepreneur knows it. And that's the more shots on goal, the better, right? Mm-hmm. You see that in the world of venture investing, and you certainly see that in the world of innovators, right? They know they have to put a lot of ideas on the page, on the board, and then continue to sharpen, refine, and eventually get to, you know, sort of that winning idea. Mm-hmm. And similar for strategy work, you know, the idea that only a precious few can do that work, I think it just sets organizations up for, you know, anything but success. Because again, the idea, especially in today's world, that if you have an organization of, you know, 2,000 employees, and you think, you know, 4 people are going to know what's best for that organization. And it's not just a matter of, you know, sort of where people sit in terms of the org chart. You know, certainly folks have to be the deciders, right? At the end of the day, mm-hmm. you know, decisions have to be made and, you know, strategic choices, you know, someone has to do that. But getting to that point of even creating that choice palette, again, you know, in the world of innovation, you want an army of creative, imaginative, inspired people helping you to come up with, you know, that palette mm-hmm. to paint from. And in the world of strategy, again, the fewer people that are doing the work, the more limited your perspective is going to be. And so the whole idea is, like, can you create an army of strategists, literally mm-hmm. situated at every level of your organization, that are being strategists every day? Because the great thing about strategists is they don't need permission to be who they are, and they don't need to be told what to do, in the sense that, you know, I mean, you all are like this as entrepreneurs. You know, if you waited for someone to tell you what to do, you wouldn't be entrepreneurs very long, right? So you just do it. And I think that's what you see with organizations in which they've sort of, what I talk about is democratized or secularized their approach to strategy and really focus on more strategists, is they harness sort of the power of having a lot more people contributing the best ideas, the best questions. Again, it's a play on volume and numbers as opposed to a narrowing of sort of elite, you know, limited perspective.
Mm-hmm. So I think that it's really saying, you know, organizations and companies need to be more open to communication and to more ideas. Like you were saying, like just having strategists at the top and saying, "Hey, everyone go do this strategy." And no one even knows what the strategy is.
So, totally. Yeah, the other challenge I see in organizations is, so my current role, I'm the chief innovation and strategy officer for, you know, a big university. And so I'm every week I'm out meeting with the CEOs and their teams to figure out, you know, what do they need and how can the university be helpful? And so a lot of those conversations will turn to strategy. And this was, you know, sort of one of the reasons for the book and the impetus, is I would often hear CEOs talk about strategy. And don't get me wrong, you rarely meet a CEO who's not a master strategist. That's one of the reasons they probably got to that seat, is that, you know, the person just knows how to do that. But what I noticed over and over is when I asked them about sort of what they needed, they would often say, "I need my teams to be more strategic." And I was like, well, tell me more about that. And they're like, well, I just need them to be much more strategic in their thinking and their behavior and their approach. And then I always follow up with the question, well, what are you doing to help that along, right? And the answer was always like, well, like tell them that. And I was like, okay, that's good. But like, what are you showing them? What are you providing by way of tools or guides? And that's where the conversation would often stop, is that, you know, it was just a matter of them saying, I want you to do this, but it wasn't giving them any guidance, tools, or resources or support to do just that. And frankly, that was, again, one of the impetus for the book is, you know, I think, you know, strategists throughout any organization, if they have folks around them that, you know, that are struggling to sort of figure out how to do it, this book helps them get there. And I've yet to meet a CEO, maybe I will, but I've yet to meet a CEO that said to me, you know, I want fewer strategists at my disposal, right? It just doesn't happen.
You know, when you're talking about, I want them to have the tool, they need the tools, the support, all that to go with it. And today's, the way people consume content today, obviously, you know, we believe in books, but think about a CEO saying, okay, we have our strategy for 2024. We've put it in a book. The book now has spread out into 50 blog, short blog posts that you can read. It also has videos from the book content, but they've curated it. It's all in one place. And then from there, micro content can be created for their team with the action items. So they have the full playbook of the strategy. So I believe like every organization, company should have a book, whether they can even print it to the world. Like, you know, you want to be, what is the leadership is going to be? It should be, have the book of what our leadership looks like. They were, in our last interview, they were talking about the new CEO for Microsoft. And the question of these magazine interviews were, what are you going to do different in your leadership? That should be a whole book that he's telling the world, his stockholders, everybody, the consumers, how they're going to lead this company different. And it also is a strategy for everyone on the team. And that can be turned into other pieces of content for support for the whole organization. That's my soapbox for strategies for businesses.
No, it's a great point. Let me unpack it just a little bit. So when, you know, CEOs have that aha moment, just like you, the framework you laid out was perfect. But the trap here, and it's important for people to recognize, is the difference between, and I have a chapter in the book on this, a strategic plan versus a strategic direction. So a strategic plan, which is what you're used to because you've seen it around for 50 years, is this idea that, hey, we're going to predict what's going to happen the next 5, 7, 10 years for this organization. And we're going to prescriptively say, you know, X will happen on Y date and we'll do Z. And again, it's sort of formulaic, right? And oftentimes those plans are many pages, right? Dozens, if not hundreds of pages. What we've realized is that, you know, those don't really even survive, you know, sort of the first punch, right? It's Mike Tyson's quote about, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. That comes from a strategy quote from World War II. Is like, you know, everyone has a plan until they get into battle. And so the whole idea is that a plan gets a little bit too fixed and a little bit, as a result, a bit calcified, right? The thought that you can predict what's going to happen, you know, 10 months from now, much less 10 years, is probably a fool's bet, right? And so what I talk about in the book is a shift in focus to a strategic direction. Mm-hmm. And so your strategic direction is basically helping to define the why and then understanding that the how has to be flexible, right? So it's Amazon's got a great phrase. They call, let's be stubborn on vision and flexible on details, right? And so that's the idea of a strategic direction. You're stubborn on vision. Hey, we're going to charge this hill. But you're flexible on details because you know that how is going to change over time. It's certainly going to change over 10 years, but it's probably going to change, you know, over 10 months. And so the idea of a strategic plan versus strategic direction is really important. And for me, the best way to remember it, I got a little cheat sheet in my mind, is that, you know, a plan I liken to a product, right? A product can get fixed in time. Think of the Polaroid camera, think of a VCR, think of a typewriter, right? A product gets literally fixed in time. And then it can't function after sort of time has passed, right? It becomes obsolete. But a service, right? A service can evolve. And so you think about a service as a platform for music, right? You think about a service as a platform for streaming entertainment. You think about service as a platform for sharing photos. A service continues, right? It's fluid, right? It has to evolve with time. So if you create a strategy that looks like a product, which is what a plan is, Mm-hmm. It's going to get left behind pretty quickly, right? But if you create a strategy that looks like a service, right, it can evolve over time. And so, again, when we think about a direction versus a plan, looks very much like an outdated product, mm-hmm. whereas a direction looks much more like an up-to-date service.
I love that. I think you have so much insight on so many things. We could just keep talking for a while. Where can people go to find you and get more information and get your book?
Great. Thanks, Jen. Yeah. So it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart. The book is Strategist First, How to Defeat the Strategy Trap. I also have my website.com. I've got some quotes on there as well as some testimonials about the book. But, you know, I really believe that, and there's a quote on the back of the book from Jim Getz, the legendary venture capitalist, that talks about this as a burn the boats movement. And this book being a manifesto, because I think it really is going to require folks to have a pivot from strategy to strategist. And it has to be more than just rhetorical, right? It has to be, you know, kind of an identity change. And that's this idea of a movement. So yeah. I'd love to hear from folks who have struggled with this. The book's been out for a little over a month. And, you know, I've heard a lot of folks who are already accomplished strategists, and they're like, oh, I love the book because it gave voice and visibility, you know, to my work. And then for aspiring strategists, you know, they like the idea of being able to have a guide, right? So I think it actually meets a lot of people sort of where they are.
Yeah, I really love that. That's a great endorsement by Jim Getz. That's great that you got that, because at the end, you missed the last part of who it's for. So I love it. Strategists First is a burn the boats movement. And this book is the manifesto for innovators and entrepreneurs. So that's a really great endorsement. Good.
Thanks.
Yes. Yeah. Tells who it's for and the problem that it solves. Well, make sure you grab his book. We're so happy to have you here today. And if you're looking to become an author, reach out to us at EliteOnlinePublishing.com. We work hard to make all of our authors number one bestsellers guaranteed, but we don't work with everybody. So just reach out to us and hit the author submission form. Hope you learned a lot today and have a great week, everybody.
Hey, are you looking to increase your revenue, build credibility, and elevate your brand? This podcast is brought to you by Elite Online Publishing, an innovative publishing and full spectrum marketing company. They will publish and market your book to make it a number one bestseller. Becoming an author is the best way to market your business. So contact them at EliteOnlinePublishing.com today. All of their authors become number one bestsellers.